Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through to 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Hi, everyone. On Anzac Day, last Friday, pretty much all shops were shut until 1 p.m. And I think, given that most shops are already shut, just added insult to injury for many of us, that the shops that are still open during this COVID 19 season were also shut, and shut on a public holiday, even though the way things are at the moment, one day is pretty much blending into another holiday or no holiday. But it's just interesting then that once the essential shops were open from 1 p.m. on, everyone clambered down to Bunnings and Officeworks and Spotlight down there at West Gosford. So did I, stupidly, because it was a parking lot. But in a lot of ways, it was a great homage to the materialistic thinking and culture that we Aussies live and breathe. Because even though creeping along at a snail's pace to and from the shops, that was frustrating, at the same time, there was a familiar, weirdly comforting solidarity to it as I joined hundreds of other desperate people, people desperate for some real life, as a break from the strained ISO life that we're living in now, and looking for that life in the acquisition of more stuff, which is just a bit of relief from the groundhog feeling at home. Well, what's really wrong with that? It's not illegal, keeps the economy going, and it feels good. And it makes for good conversation. It's what we all pretty much talk to each other about a lot of the time, about the new things that we've bought or repaired or resurrected or seen or heard or played with, whatever that thing might be, car, tool, computer, phone, tech, a body. As long as we can touch, taste, see, hear or smell it, we love it. And we love to talk about it, to play with it, to fill our life with it. Materialism then, the idea that life is to be found in the physical stuff of this world and the experiences in it, seems to make sense. Which in some ways is no surprise. The Bible thinks that physical and material stuff matters too. Now, right from the very first chapter in the Bible, we're told all material physical stuff is good. And even after sin comes in, we're told God gives us the good things in this life for our enjoyment. In fact, you could say God's always had the material and the physical world in mind, and that in Christ, the material world, our bodies and the world that we see and hear and touch and taste and smell, it's all somehow eternally reconciled to God through Christ, and so has eternal value and significance. It's not a wonder then that we're drawn to run after physical things and experiences. So if material stuff is good, even eternally good, what's the problem with being materialistic? Well, the problem isn't so much with the stuff of this world. The problem is with the idea that the physical things of this world are where life is truly at, which is what materialism is all about. But the Bible wants to put the brakes on that kind of thinking, not because God's a killjoy who hates material, physical things. Clearly that's not true. But he wants the best for us, which is way more than materialism can offer. And so to that end, we're going to look at some scriptures together. Firstly, to test the promise of materialism for the good life. Secondly, to check where our hearts are at when it comes to the physical, material stuff of this world. And then finally, to see the best thing for us is God himself in Christ. So firstly, can materialism actually deliver on what it promises? Can it give us the good life? Now, Jesus never used the word materialism, but he was aware of the idea. You can see this as he talks about mammon. From the reading earlier, from Matthew chapter 6, he says, you can't serve God, both God and money. Now, the Greek word translated money there is the word mammon. It's an idea linked with money, but it's bigger than that. Mammon is the personification of our possessions and wealth. It's the stuff of this world, the good stuff of this world. Good stuff that elsewhere, Jesus says, people store up for themselves to secure a life, a good life, and a good time, and a good future without God in the picture, which gets at the heart of materialism. It's treating the good stuff in this world as if that's what life's about, which Jesus thinks turns it into a God competing with the real God for our love. As Jesus says there, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Jesus says you can't serve mammon and God at the same time. You can only love one and hate the other. He's exaggerating here to make a point. The point is where our hearts are at. As he says earlier, where your treasure is, there your heart is. The problem with mammon being your God is that for all it promises, it can never actually deliver on the good life. As Jesus says from verse 19, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. See, the problem with material things is not that they're bad, but that they decay. They don't last. Like moth larvae eats away at clothing. Like vermin eats away at food or flesh. Like rust eats away at metal. So material things get eaten away. Things rot. Things break down. And this is because of God's curse of decay in the world due to people's sin. God wills it to decay. And so to try and secure life by getting more physical stuff and experiences is more than just an uphill battle. It's a fool's game because it's to resist God's will, which is ridiculous. Particularly when we can't even resist other people's wills half the time, as Jesus points out there with the possibility of thieves stealing our stuff. I heard the other day that there's a concerted effort from some computer hackers to get sensitive information about the thousands of COVID patients from a number of hospitals in the States being admitted into those hospitals. So not even hospitals, and the sick in them are safe from thieves. So to store up treasure for yourself on earth, it's foolish, and it'll make you look a fool. And in the end, it'll show you up to be a fool. As Jesus makes the point in another parable of the man who tries to make bigger and better barns to store up all the good stuff that he's got in this world, thinking that that'll give him the good life so he can sit back, relax, eat, drink and be merry. But God crashes in on that party and he says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? It's the fool who lives like they're the master of their own destiny by living for stuff and getting and having stuff and physical experiences, because they're worshipping at the altar of materialism with mammon as their God, who's pathetic in the face of the real God who has the real power to give life and to take it away. Materialism is not a smart bet. No matter how many others are putting their odds on it winning out in life, Jesus is like, wake up and smell the coffee. Or better, smell the rot. I read a while ago that any feeling of disgust that we get can be traced psychologically to our fear of death. If that's true, then it might be worth going with our gut if we ever get a bad taste in our mouth with the herd mentality towards materialism, towards getting our kicks from the physical world, because that's just our gut agreeing with what's actually the case. Materialism has no lasting answer to decay and thieves and death. In the end, materialism can't promise the good life. So, materialism can't deliver. It's less a roller coaster ride at a fun park and more a one-way trip down an abandoned mine. But that doesn't mean our hearts aren't still tempted to rattle down those tracks. And Jesus wants to put the brakes on that before it's too late. And he does this with a couple of heart checks. First to do with our eyes, and second to do with our worries. So, first heart check is how healthy your eyes are, as Jesus mysteriously puts it in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is Jesus talking about here? Well, elsewhere, Jesus contrasts the generosity of God with people having an evil eye or a bad eye. And that seems to be what Jesus is getting at, here, a way of talking about how generous you are or not. Healthy, good eyes is someone who's generous, which shows that their whole body or their heart is generous. But the flip side is also true. If you've got unhealthy, bad eyes, if you're jealous, greedy, mean, and stingy, then that shows your whole body or your heart is jealous, greedy, mean, and stingy. So it's worth doing this heart check. How are your eyes? Are they good? Are you generous? Or are your eyes bad? Are you stingy? Ask the people where you live whether they think you're generous with your stuff or experiences. Or better still, ask them to identify some possession or physical experience that they see that you treasure particularly and then give it to them or give it up. If you can't, or if you balk at the thought, it might be because your heart is rattling down the materialism track. Because the logic is simple. A materialistic person loves the stuff of this life, the experience of sex, chocolate, movies, whatever physical thing it is that they're eager for, and so they're going to hold on to it with really tightly clenched hands. The non-materialistic person, the person who doesn't love the stuff of this world, they're not eager for it. And so they'll have a much looser grip on their material possessions. They're going to be open-handed and generous and willing to share their stuff and give it up. So that's the first heart check. The second is to do with our worries, as Jesus says from verse 31. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. If you worry without reference to God or faith in him, if you run after material or physical things to deal with the worry of not having material or physical things, then that's a good check on where your heart's at. Now, for instance, if you turn first to your Facebook feed or that game of Candy Crush or whatever, or that snack or that drink or some online shopping or some TV streaming, binge watching, if you turn to these to deal with your worry of not having other physical things, then that's a good indication of where your heart's at. And that maybe materialism has hooked you in. So where's your heart at? How open-handed are you with the physical things and experiences in this world? And how are you at handling your worry? Because if you're holding tight-fisted onto the good stuff, the good things in this world to bring you joy and comfort and the good life, and if you deal with your worry over material and physical things by turning first to material or physical things for comfort, and then it could be that your heart is rattling down the materialism track. And God wants something much better for us. He wants to satisfy us with himself in Christ, because that's where our hearts are going to be truly satisfied. Jesus says of himself, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never go thirsty. And elsewhere, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, our souls will be satisfied only in Jesus, who generously gave his own life to bless us, God's people. As he gives his life on that cross, he took the curse of our sin, the curse of our stupid and tragic sin of having hearts sick with materialism. Jesus took the consequence of that, our shame and our sickness and our foolishness. He took it all on himself when he died, so that by faith in him, by faith in his death, for us we might have every spiritual blessing in him, as the Apostle Paul says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding. You see, to belong to Jesus is to be blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. It's to be chosen by God before the creation of the world, to be predestined in love by him, to be adopted into his family, to be redeemed, to be forgiven, to be lavished with God's wisdom. It's to enjoy all these blessings now in this present age and to enjoy the certain hope of eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. It's always intrigued me why Jesus tells Mary, who's weeping and worrying at his empty tomb because she can't find his body, and then he shows up and she goes to embrace him, understandably, and he's like, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. I wonder if he says this because he wants that joy, the joy of being able to embrace him in the flesh, to be what tops off all the blessings that we have in the heavenly realms, to be able to physically embrace Jesus, that joy is for us, reserved and set apart for us and wonderfully promised for us in the new heavens and the new earth. A promise as sure as Jesus' resurrection from the dead and more satisfying than any physical experience here and now can even imagine coming close to, because in Jesus we have God and all his benefits now, and one day we'll be with him in the flesh. That's ours in Jesus, God with us in the flesh forever. And it's in the light of this then that we get the best possible version of the good life, because in Jesus we've got God himself now and forever. You see, materialism, it can seem so sensible, so immediate, so life-affirming, concrete, and even social. It really does promise a good life. It just can't deliver, because the good stuff and experiences in this world, they're passing away, and death is coming to put it all to an end. To love the things of this world, then, is just setting yourself up for a terrible fall, because the only thing our hearts will be truly satisfied in is something eternal and never dying. And that is God himself come in the flesh for us in Jesus to offer himself to us now by faith and to offer himself very physically in the forever future. That yearning for the physical and the material, it's not wrong in and of itself. It's just never going to be satisfied with the things on earth now. So knowing our hearts are satisfied only by having God in Jesus, in the light of that, let's train our hearts in the way that we use and think about the material things here on earth. As Paul says to those who've been blessed with many material goods, he says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. True life, the good life, paradoxically, is in giving away the good stuff that we've got in this life, to share it. Share your space, share your things, share your treasures. Perhaps more than ever at the moment, our homes are a particular treasure of ours. And while we might be sick of being stuck in them a lot of the time at the moment, that's not going to be forever. So it's worth thinking about now how we're going to share our home and to be working, you know, on that extension, that house extension, or buying that new furniture or more appliances with a view to being more hospitable. Plan now for how you're going to share your stuff, the stuff that God's given you. And then when it comes to our thinking on the stuff in this world, maybe as we worry about not having enough, it's worth listening to what Paul says elsewhere in Philippians, where he writes, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. See, the best thing for us as we worry is to turn first to God in prayer and to thank him. To thank him for all the good things that he's given us in this life. But first and foremost, to thank him for every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. Some of which Paul mentioned earlier. Find out what those blessings are. Find them in the scriptures. Commit them to memory. And then thank God for them at any and every time, particularly when you're worried. Because this is the best thing for you. This is the best thing for us. In this world so caught up in materialism and its fool's gold, let's train our hearts to savour the best thing for us, the true gold of God himself in Christ, and be quick to share or give away the things in this world and be constantly thanking God for Jesus. So I'm going to lead us in praying that now. Father God, thanks so much for all the good stuff in this world, for atoms and planets and people and all the elements that make up all the physical and material stuff in this grand and great cosmos that you've made. Thanks for food and sex and clothes and housing. You're incredible. And you're so generous giving it all to us to enjoy. Please forgive us if we've loved the gifts more than you. Help us treasure Jesus as the only one who can truly satisfy our souls and give us rest. Thanks for every spiritual blessing that you've given us in him, that you have chosen us in him before the creation of the world, predestined us in love, adopted us into your family, given us your spirit, redeemed us, forgiven us, lavished us with your wisdom. Please help us cling onto these in Jesus more than to the things in this world. Please help us to be thankful now and always for the incredible treasures that you have given us in Jesus. In whose name we pray these things. Amen.